Christ is risen. That was really JV. There's a response to it, which goes back to the earliest days of Christianity. Someone says, Christ is risen, and the response is, truly, he is risen. And then together we say, Alleluia. So try it again. Christ is risen.
Truly, he is
risen. Alleluia. We'll try it again at the end. Christ is risen, though. This night is about victory and redemption. It's about Jesus' victory over death. That he has conquered Satan and he has defeated sin and death. Jesus is victorious over it. And his victory is one of triumph. There was a homily given 1855 years ago in a little town of Sardis, Turkey, by a bishop named Melito. And he said this: when Jesus rose up from the dead, he cried aloud with this voice, who is he who contends with me? Let him stand in opposition to me. I set the condemned man free. I gave the dead man life. I raised up the one who had been entombed. Who is my opponent? I, he says, I am the Christ. I am the one who destroyed death and triumphed over the enemy and trampled Hades underfoot and bound the strong man and carried off man to the heights of heaven. I, he says, am the Christ. I am Lord of all. Triumphant victory. Pope Benedict XVI had a beautiful image he wrote about. He said that the stone which was once rolled in front of Christ's tomb is now the stone that Christ has placed upon hell. He is victorious over death. But this isn't the stunning thing. This isn't really the stunning thing. Jesus is God, and Satan is a created creature, a fallen one. The stunning thing is that you and I, we share in this victory over death, over Satan. God is infinitely more powerful than Satan. But yet Satan, we belong to him. He owned us, and he is infinitely more powerful than us. And yet somehow, this victory that Jesus wins tonight, you and I, we share in it. That we have a power over something so much greater than us. And we have this through the incredible power of baptism and all the sacraments and true living faith in Jesus Christ. When that's alive within us, all the power of Jesus' victory tonight is alive within us. That death cannot hold us. This is the victory. And this is the stunning thing about the victory, that you and I, we share in it over something infinitely more powerful than us. Jesus is victorious, and his victory is our victory. Jesus is also redeemed, and his redemption is our redemption. He took on our body, and he truly died. He suffered, and he was truly dead. And now he is truly alive. But his body now is more glorious than it was before. And this, everyone, this redemption in Jesus is the most stunning and hard to believe thing about all of Easter. We share now in that redemption. Understand what that means is so stunning. The exalted at the beginning of this most sacred night is really hard. But it's not just hard because it's difficult and it's 10 minutes. It's hard because right in the middle of it is one of the most unbelievable truths of our faith. And it's hard because deep within my rocky stone heart, something is moved. When we chant that, "O truly necessary sin of Adam, O truly necessary sin of Adam, O happy fault that earns so great, so glorious a redeemer. Our birth would have been no gain if we hadn't a redeemer." Jesus' redemption and us sharing in that means that everything fallen in you, every sin that you have committed, every stupid damage that you have done in this life, when Jesus has redeemed it, he makes it better than if it had never happened. He takes something that is fallen and that is dead, and he resurrects it into something glorious. That's really hard to believe. I come back all the time when praying about this, and it's the best way I can understand it. And I've shared it with you before of when I was a little boy, 6, 7 years old, at our grandma's house out in Polson, Montana. She had a place right on the shores of Flathead Lake. And she had nice things, as grandmas do, and they were all very breakable things, as grandmas tend to have. And so when I'm there with my cousins, who I see like once, twice a year, when you're a little boy, you're running around that house and you're trying to tackle each other and play tag. I think I was chasing my cousin Josh one time, and you go around the corner and hit one of the side tables, and one of grandma's vases took a plunge to the ground and it didn't survive. So it was broken into like 5 big pieces. And so what does a little boy do who's 6, 7 years old? Well, he hides the vase, obviously. He hopes grandma's not going to notice. But, you know, so I did. I hid it because grandma's also like really lacy things. And so, you know, there's the big lacy things over the table, and kind of just slid it underneath. Because in my little 6-year-old mind, I'm like, maybe grandma will think it just like fell underneath and broke. And who knows when that happened? Because by the time she finds it. But, you know, eventually you feel bad because grandma's like, "What happened to the vase? Where's it at?" And so I confess, you know, in tears that I did it. And grandma's also, they understand how to make things better. And so she takes the pieces, and together we glue it and put it together. And she places it back there. The pieces, you know, kind of glued together, and says, "Look, it's just like it's brand new. We fixed it." And because grandma wants you to feel better, you know, she leaves it there. But you and I know how that works, right? When you're a little kid, every time you walk by, you know it's not fixed. You can see the cracks in it. And that vase, that thing that you broke, that thing that you did, every time you see it, it becomes this source of shame. That, yeah, it's been fixed, it's been put back together, but I still remember what happened, and it's not the same. But what Jesus redeeming us means, it's like him taking that broken vase and transforming it into one that's made of pure gold. And that he says that I did this and that you share in this now. He takes all of it, everything that's dead and everything that you've caused death in this world. And when he redeems that, he transforms it. He takes something that was dead and he brings it to life. Look at your hands. Your body will be dead someday. These hands will be dead. But when you rise from the dead with Jesus Christ, they will be more glorious than you could have ever imagined them to be. The hands in all the sin that they've committed. That when Jesus redeems it, he uses it for his redemption. Oh, happy fault. Oh, glorious redemption that was brought through the sin of Adam. This is why Easter is so unbelievable. Because yes, Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, he conquered sin and death. Yes, he was redeemed. And look, now he's like this glorious body. All of that, but we share in that. We share in this victory. You have a power within you, Jesus Christ, which is stronger than all the dominions of hell. You have that within you. You have within you this incredible redemption in which everything you've done, every sin, is able to be redeemed when given to Jesus. And this isn't a matter, folks, of thinking, oh gosh, I gotta try harder to make sure Jesus gets these things to redeem. No, it's fundamentally about trusting. You've been baptized and you love Jesus and he has redeemed it. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? It's a matter of faith, fundamentally. Do you live in light of that being true? He redeems it. And as he says in Revelation, in this vision of heaven, behold, I make all things new. Jesus was dead, and now he is alive. And for you who believe in him and who love him, this is the glorious good news, that death has no power over you and that you share in his victory and in his redemption because Christ is risen. Hallelujah.